Heavenly Father, we ask for your presence. We ask for your word. We ask that you would speak to us and that you would change our hearts, change our minds. God, help us. Help us to know you and to live life fully as you intended. God, in Jesus' name, amen. So just kind of a overview of what we talked about last week. We talked about the vine and the branches because we're in that section where we're talking about God calling us to produce fruit. Matter of fact, what defines a Christian is the fact that we produce good fruit. And we saw that good fruit, or the fruit of the Spirit, is primarily born out of love. So, you can be about many things. You know, you can say, Henry, he's talented in this, or, you know, he's good at that, he's so impressive, or, you know, you can say anything about anybody. They're so sacrificial about this, or, you know, that person's a missionary, or that person's in ministry. You can even say that person went to a good school. They own a nice house. And when I was growing up in the Korean American community back in the 80s, maybe even the 90s, we defined each other when you're young by the car we drove. There was the Toyota, you know, the Toyota, the Supra Johnny. There was the Mustang Joe, and you know, that's just the way we, you know, there's so many different, you know, because, you know, if you look at a lot of church-attending Korean Americans, they usually had biblical names, and you kind of run out of it pretty quick. So you have to give each other kind of these prefixes, and car names are the prefixes. So, what Jesus is saying here is, you will know whether somebody is a disciple or a believer because of the way they love. So, you know, I have these, like, you know, a lot of times, I mean, how many of us don't like revenge movies? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many of them now since, I think, the movie Taken, you know? Oh, you want me to take off my mask? Thank you. All right. So a lot of these, you know, it feels good. Oh, we got them, you know? Like, justice is finally served, and, you know, and so sometimes, you know, I mean, this is, I'm not going to lie, like, way back when, I just remember, you know, because I got into a lot of fights growing up, you know, grew up in PG County, and probably every day, and the reason we moved, because, you know, there was, like, some principal-parent conference talking about me and how I fight every day, and in that neighborhood that I lived in, you just couldn't avoid it, you know, I was, like, yeah, one of very few Asian kids in that apartment complex, and it was just every day. Every day after I got off the bus, it was just fighting. And so, you know, when I was younger, I would relive. You know, as you get older, you get bigger, you know, and you think, okay, I'm more courageous now. I can fight differently. And you kind of replay some of those kinds of things in your mind. And it never dawned on me, even after I became a Christian, that I would want to and need to respond to bullies or gangs with love. I mean, how many guys actually think like that? You know, let's say you know a lot of good martial arts now and you know how to fight, but your preference to respond to bullies is when they push you to say, you know, Jesus loves you or I love you. I mean, we don't think like that. Like, you know, I mean, I kind of knew people like that. They were the Jesus freaks in my high school, and I called them Jesus freaks because, you know, they were a little weird. They were kind of like that. And back then, it never dawned on me that that was the hallmark of a believer. So, what we talked about last week and what we'll talk about this week is going to be about how we recognize believers, how we recognize fruit and how that comes about. So let's just do some overview of what we covered last week. So you see this picture. It's about how Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. The vine is the whole thing. It's the roots, it's the trunk, and the branches. The vine actually is mostly branches. Like Jesus, right? We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the body. It also says he is the head, but the head is also the body. Right? Just like the vine. I used to think that Jesus is the trunk of the vine and we are the branches. It's not that that's completely inaccurate, but Jesus is mostly the branches. Now, that probably is a little confusing because we're thinking about Jesus and us separately. And what Jesus did on the cross is, when you read John 17, we've gone over those verses many, many times, when Jesus died on the cross, rose to a new life, the Holy Spirit baptized us into his body. So the idea that I am not part of intimately other believers' lives, and that I could have this direct relationship with Jesus Christ apart from a oneness relationship with other believers, is not only a myth, but it's a lie that's been perpetrated. Because that's not how Jesus thinks, and that's not why he says what he says. And the Sermon on the Mount is exactly that. The theme, we called it, is kingdom building. So let's look at just an overview of last week's verses. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified. How is God glorified? If that's our chief end in life, that we bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So we have to really understand what it is to bear fruit. Because if you're not a fruit-bearing branch, it says it'll be cut off. But we are fruit-bearing branches. And he says, as, a more literal translation would be just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So how oneness is defined, because he's like this, I'm like this. The idea of the Trinity is that they're very much alike. They're one. And the fact that God would invite us into that kind of Trinitarian-like relationship with God is mind-boggling. It blows me up. And that is one of the reasons why Jesus was crucified. He dared to be one with God. So, just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So you know that I and the Father are one because he's like that, I'm like that. It says, now, he's saying, abide in my love if you keep my commandments. And what's his commandment? Well, there are a lot of commandments in Scripture. But Jesus says it can be summarized. Okay, all the laws and the prophets, which is literally meaning the Old Testament, can be summed up in this word. Love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So what defines oneness with the Father, Jesus saying, I know I'm one with the Father because I love like he loves and I obey his commandments. That means I'm on board with what he's saying. That means I not only talk the talk, but I am walking the walk. That is how
we are defined as believers. Then he's going out to saying, this is how oneness is defined. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. Okay, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And that your joy may be full. This is my commandment now. So now, he's going and speaking to the would-be disciples. And so, just as I am one with the Father, and just because you know him, and if you know me, you know him, I do what he does. Okay, and now this is my commandment. Which he's saying, this is also my Father's commandment. That what? You love one another just as, right? I have loved you. So that's how you know. That's how you know that Jesus is like the Father, because of the way he loves. And this is how you know that you're my disciple, because of the way you love. And that's the fruit that he's talking about. So you cannot be an amazing pastor if you're not a very loving person. And we're going to continue to define what that is. So that means you have to be deeply connected with people. You can't be a wonderful missionary because you're all sacrificial and you're doing amazing things for Jesus, but you're actually not that loving and not very committed to others. And you don't have that much time for them. Then he goes on to say, and we want to remember this because Paul references it, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And then he goes on to say, you are my friends. Then he also says, you're my friends if you, what? Obey my commandments. And so what we're going to talk about today is the idea of one priority. Let me read you a quote. Because before we do that, the idea that you can become a loving person in a world full of many, many things. I think I mentioned, you know, why God limited us when he created us. Because, Henry, I used to be a pilot because I love flying. But flying helicopters is honestly very grueling and honestly sometimes very tiresome. You have to learn all the emergency procedures. And when you get to the aircraft, you do have to do the pre-flight check. Then you have to do the post-flight check. And then you have these tests that you have to take all the time and constantly be reading all these regulations, learning how to fly instruments. It's just tedious at times with interjections of flying. It's a little bit different in the Air Force. Everybody does the work for the pilot. He just hops in, like he hops in a car and just flies away and comes back. It's a little different in the Army. But that said, if I could fly, if God gave me the ability to fly, and here's the thing, he could have. I mean, he gave birds the ability to fly. Man, I would be flying all the time. I mean, I'd be visiting places. I would even like probably, if I can fly at the speed of light, God created light and it goes the speed of light. You know what I'm saying? I would be flying to other planets. And just to check it out. Hey, let's just see what Mars is up to right now. But because I would be doing stuff like that, if I could run as fast as a cheetah or even faster, I mean, why isn't... If I could be smart like Einstein, I'd be inventing some stuff. I'd be thinking of stuff, but why didn't he? Why did he create us so limited? It's because all throughout what Jesus talks about, because he wants to be about the one thing. And God knows that if he gave us too much power, too much money, we would be about many things. So we're going to talk about, one priority. Let me read you this. The word priority came into the English language in the 1400s. It was singular. It meant the very first or prior thing. It stayed singular for the next 500 years. Only in the 1900s, and more accurately, around the 1940s, okay, with this Industrial Revolution just humming, did we pluralize the term and start talking about priorities? Illogically, we reasoned that by changing the word, we could bend reality. Okay. As human beings, okay, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Lego movie. If everybody's special, then what? And nobody's special. If everything is important, then nothing is important. That's true. Do you see a fault in that logic? Do you know why sometimes we're indecisive? I think my wife knows. When I go to the supermarket, I have issues. I spend a lot of time, you know, researching every little thing. Like, I need Wi-Fi, okay? Because sometimes in supermarkets, you know, the Wi-Fi doesn't work. You know why? Because I'm researching this, and I'm researching whether there's a special, you know, and whether, you know, I like this compared to other brands, what's in the ingredient. My mind is just constantly, like, even when I go to McDonald's, I have to compare the value meal versus, you know, like, you know, the set menu versus individual thing. I mean, but here's the problem. Indecision happens when too many things become important. It also loses flavor. There's a study out, you know, when they put out, I think, a dozen jams at a supermarket in a taste test and said, hey, you pick a jam that you like, and people were unable to pick a favorite. But when they only put out three jars, people always could pick a favorite. You know, too many options, right? Then it all kind of blends. That's why gourmet restaurants have very small menus and usually a menu for the day. And so there are not a lot of options, you know. And less options, the more you enjoy. It's true. And the idea that, you, like, this fear of missing out, FOMO, oh, if I get this choice in this menu, then I'm going to miss out on this other choice. Life, what God had done, his whittling down, right, so that we're not about all these options. Should I fly around the world, have breakfast in China, or just eat what my, you know, what's in the refrigerator? Helpful. Helpful. I don't know if we always think about it like this. And so it helps us to look at failure this way. You know? When I fail in this, well, maybe God doesn't want you to go in that. And if I'm rejected by this person, maybe I'm not supposed to be with that person. But we want to make, you know, we want to be about things that we ought not to be about. And so we perceive failure differently. We experience rejection differently because our minds constantly compare, constantly feed off of other people. You know? Matthew 7:15. Take a look. All right? And we're going to read what we're going to talk about today. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. So this idea, you will recognize them. The problem is we don't recognize. We say things because they are, like, we like people who are impressive. Oh, that person is insightful. That person knows their Bible in and out. Oh, that pastor, such a great speaker. Oh, that person's a missionary. Oh, that person went to this school. We're so easily impressed. And Jesus is like just straight up saying, look, if I wanted you to be impressive, I could have created you to be impressive. And you didn't even have to try. But I didn't. Because he's not interested in us being impressive. You know what he's interested in? Fruits. Good fruit. Relational, like love. And all the relational skills. Okay? How to forgive, you know? How to cope with pain. All the relational skills, right? How to have the discipline, right? To whittle down. Okay, so that you're about less and not more. Anyways, we'll continue to talk about that. But you will recognize them by their fruits. So it's like a completely mind shift. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit. But the diseased tree bears bad fruit. You could actually look at, okay? I mean, impressive people, and if you have the mindset of God and look at that and go, wow, because that's exactly what I was afforded the opportunity. I was at Walter Reed, and I had this dubious task as the XO to walk around to visit all these VIPs, these former generals in their late years and politicians, only to find them by themselves in their rooms in their dying days, alone, while Private Snuffy down that ward with their second and third cousins who flew in, right? From, you know, everywhere and crowding the hallways. Nurses are yelling at the kids to go back to the waiting room. Who's the rich person? Who's the rich person? Nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, again, he says it, he repeats this, you will recognize them by their fruits. He's trying to get us to focus on fruits, and you can't produce fruits. You saw the picture of the vine, right? You got to be connected to another branch. Trunks don't, see, Jesus has designed the vine in such a way where fruits come from branches that are connected to other branches. And then he goes on, okay? Immediately following that verse, he goes on to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Was I not impressive? Was I not an impressive believer? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You know why he says lawlessness? Because that's what a sin is. Sin is defined in Scripture as lawlessness. That means they disregard what Jesus says is important, not to be impressive, but to be loving. And all they got at the end is like, well, I was impressive. And the worst thing is they were trying to be impressive, but in some spiritual fashion. Impressive is feeding off of people. It's not feeding off of God. Try to be impressive and see if you delight in the Lord. You won't. I have come in my Father's name, John 5:43. And you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive what? Glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God. That means what people think of you is more important than what God thinks of you. Luke 10, we read this. Lord, this is Martha and Mary. Martha's busy. She has guests, you know, and she's got to, what? Be hospitable. Good things. But she's more interested in being about other things than the one thing. And this is what Jesus says to Martha. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary is at the feet of Jesus. There's a time for everything. And Mary chose, instead of being an impressive host, she has chosen to be less impressive. Instead of having a grand meal with multiple side dishes when you invite people, having a few things, simple things, so you can have a wonderful conversation. Okay? Martha wanted to be an impressive host and was blaming Mary for not contributing to that. And Jesus says, no. What's more important? 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. First importance. What did Jesus say? There's no greater love than this, that one would lay down his life for a friend. Relational. It is the gospel. But we want to stop, okay, oh, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, but I'm not interested in being like him and doing just how he loves. John 15:6, exactly that point, isn't it? Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down life for his friends. Okay? So, first importance, how does Paul put it? Colossians 3:14, and above all, here we go again. Put these on, okay, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's how connection happens. Love is the glue that connects the branches together. It's love. And it's love that is produced in the fruits. I will skip down. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Keep the main thing the main thing. If you're too busy in your life for time of connecting deeply and broadly, if you're too busy for that, then you're too busy. Whatever is going on in your life, this is the thing. John 7:37 says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The idea of how that water flows in the vine, right? It just comes through the trunk, out to the branches, right? So in a vine, right, we saw the picture. The first main vine, or the branch, is the cordon, which is permanent wood. It could be, you know, I think the oldest one is like 400 years old, a vine that's like over 400 years old. So that branch is there's only like one or two coming off the trunk. And then off of that are spurs. And off of that are canes. And off of that are sprouts. They're all branches. It's in the sprout. That is the new branch. Every year, right, you have to prune, and that's the new branch. And that produces the fruits. But in all of this, water is flowing out to that branch to produce that fruit. But that's how, when people drink, they don't just drink because they're connected directly to the trunk. It's the point that Jesus is making. This is not mano el mano, just me and you, God. It is me and God. That's part of the story of the gospel. It's not the whole story of the gospel. So, we are born to deeply connect. We are born again so that we can deeply connect. Jesus came to die and share his glorious life of love and connection with him and each other. This is the gospel. This is the one priority of life. Here's the kingdom theme. Less is more in the kingdom. And so if you find that God is closing doors, that failures are happening, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean God loves you less because you can't fly like a bird, okay? Or sting like a bee. I don't want to be copying Muhammad Ali's statement here. It doesn't mean because you're not as, you know, handsome, because you're not as capable, that God loves you any less. Everybody has an opportunity to love and to love deeply and to connect deeply. I just want you to understand this. Everything in life is about that. Everything else will be added unto you. Everything else. And here's the thing. If I ask for parents, if I ask your children, what is the one thing? What is the one thing in your life? What is the one thing that your parents are training you towards? If it's not this, we're not training them properly. Because I can tell you this, if you're a believer, God is moving you to focus you, to narrow you. You know why it's the narrow path? Because you have to discard the many. Okay? Find the path of the few. But we are greedy. We want to keep everything an option. You know? Everything, you know? We want to be able to. You know, that's why we feel so insecure. Because we think life is about having more when God is trying to focus us with less. I'm not preaching a poverty gospel. Whatever God has deemed to give you, you're responsible to be a steward so that this one thing you do as part of the body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, God, for your just the goodness, God, in the way you direct us and guide us and channel us. And I just pray that you would help us to recognize good fruit in ourselves, God, that we'd be focused on this as you raise our children so that they would, God, produce good fruit. That they would have eyes to see and ears to hear. And God, would you help us to measure our lives by our connections, God, not by our accomplishments. In Jesus' name, amen.